A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing east and to follow 5 important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved.
Well, amen. How many of y'all maybe can relate just a little bit to the guy down there in that hole? Amen. I think we've all been there. And even as a church, sometimes as believers, we think, you know, we're out of that hole. But I think sometimes even as believers, sometimes we end up forcing or putting ourselves in that hole. And I think we all have at some point felt like that, that we are like that man in the hole. And no matter what we try to do or what others say, we end up staying stuck in that same hole. And we're like, man, I got to get out of this thing. We're still in the hole. We've tried to be good people. We've tried to do the right thing, but somehow we always find ourselves back in that hole. And we're going to do something a whole lot different this morning. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about something much different and take a different approach, if I may, to the Christmas story. We're all familiar with the baby in the manger, right? Say amen. You're all familiar with that, right? But what happens if we look at the Christmas story backwards? What would happen if we begin to look at Christmas and the entire presentation backwards? Now, you might be saying, Mike, what do you mean by that? Well, hang out with me for the next 3 weeks, and I think you'll discover it. Because what we want to tackle over the next 3 weeks in this series that we're calling Unwrapped is that we believe this. We believe that there is a gift that people are walking around and carrying around that they've yet to unwrap. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to try to discover what that gift looks like. Matter of fact, I was got to thinking here. Go ahead and turn the lights on if you would. I got to thinking, you know, when we start talking about Christmas. How many of y'all remember, man, in Christmas time when there was like all the presents were handed out, right? But yet in the very back of that, behind the tree, right? There was that one gift, right? That didn't get unwrapped, that somebody maybe forgot, right? Now, let's be honest. How many of you as kids were hoping that that gift belonged to you? Your name was on it. Come on, right? I'm the same way. I grew up with six brothers and one sister. So yeah, that's what I said all the time every Christmas morning. Whoa, right? And so I was always like, when we'd see that last gift back there, I was always hoping that my name would be on it, right? Do you know that there is a gift that we have that God has given to us that has your name written all over it? And so you don't want to miss Christmas Eve. Because on Christmas Eve, your leadership team, myself, we all believe that there is a gift that's for everybody that's going to attend Christmas Eve. That you're going to receive something that you've needed your entire life, and you're going to discover it on Christmas Eve. So we're going to unpack this, but before we do that, we're going to take a different step unto this deal we call Christmas. So we're going to start really at the beginning rather than at the end, and I want to tell you that no matter what it is that you're wrestling with, you do not have to hold on to it any longer. That just like that song says, man, Christ has risen from the dead. We are free. We're free to live the life that God has created us to live. But yet in the church, for some reason, we're still kind of tied up. We're still in the hole. And we can't understand why we keep putting, either we self-inflict ourselves and put ourselves in the hole, or we wake up every day and go, man, I thought I was out of this thing. And so we're going to take a look at that this morning. All right? Today's message is a message that's pretty simple. It's called Sin Erased or Death Defeated. It depends on what angle you want to come from. Both of them kind of come together. For Christmas message, I want to talk about, for some people have thought when I started talking, I was sharing this idea of what this message that I had that God was kind of stirring me up. And I had a couple people say, well, that's kind of religious to talk about sin on Christmas or death on Christmas. I know, right? It's kind of like completely different than what God wants to do in our life. I move around a lot, and so I'm sorry, okay? When there's stuff in here, the only way for me sometimes to get this out is to move. And so I'm going to move quite a bit this morning. No matter what you, as a believer, whether you feel, however you celebrate Christmas, no matter what you believe. Now, I know there are people in here today that they go all out for Christmas, okay? And I'm not going to point you guys out, all right? You put the reindeer on top of the house, okay? You put all, your electric bill goes up because you've got more lights than you need, more lights that are on an airport to land a plane, all right? You've got all the Christmas decor. You got three Christmas trees at your house, and they've all got all the big florals and all the junk and stuff on it, you know, and I know what husbands are thinking at this point. They're like, man, Christmas again, because you have to put it up, and pretty much you're the one that gets to take it down, and you're the one that gets yelled at because you didn't put the tree quite right in the right place. It's not centered on the window. You're the one that falls off the ladder because you're trying to put lights up on the Christmas. I get it. You've all been there, right? And for some of you guys that are here today, you don't celebrate what they call the American tradition of Christmas, all right? You don't put up the Christmas tree. You don't do the present thing, and that's cool. Whatever your viewpoint on Christmas is, I want to change it and have us look at Christmas for the rest of our entire life from a different perspective. I was at the barber this week, if you can't tell. I go to Man Cave. That's a great place, guys, to get your haircut, by the way, if you get haircuts. And while I was there, we got to talking. My barber, Trisha, asked me, she said, are you guys ready for Christmas? I said, well, we're getting there. I said, we still had some things to tighten up here at church, and I was working on the messages, and we're trying to get some stuff there. And I said, man, I said, Christmas, I said, she said, well, what am I teaching on? I kind of started sharing with her. And what was really cool to hear this from a perspective of a person who doesn't attend a church. This is really cool perspective. She goes, Christmas is too commercialized. And I thought that is really unique to hear that come from someone that doesn't go to church. She doesn't go to church. She has been looking. We are trying to get her to come here, praise God. But it was unique. It was refreshing to hear that come from someone that's in the world, that they're saying it's too commercialized. And I would have to tend to agree. I mean, you watch TV now, and we got Black Friday. That's for what? Buying presents, right? We've got, I found out this week we have something else called Cyber Tuesday, Cyber Monday? Cyber Monday, thank you very much. So we got Cyber Monday now, and I guess that's all the internet stuff. So everybody stays at home, they don't go shopping, they get on the internet and they buy all these crazy deals, right? All right, so you got all of this stuff going on, all to do one important thing for you, and that's get your money. Not about Christmas. It's not really about the holiday. I mean, think about it. It's really, and I'm just kind of on a soapbox right now, so y'all forgive me. This isn't what the message is about, okay? But the idea is that we've commercialized Christmas to the point of we don't really understand what Christmas is about. Think about this for a minute. When you think of Christmas or when the Christmas holidays were coming up, What was the first thought that came to your mind? And we can be honest. We can come up here and go, okay, it was this. And I'm not talking about that. But I'll be honest with you. It was family time. Time to be with the family, right? It was time to be Robin and I and the boys and everything. Is how are we going to get everybody together? Who's going to cook? Whose house are we going to be at? That was the first thing that came to my mind. I know you guys might think that I'm like this real spiritual dude all the time, and I'm not, all right? But the idea was, okay, where are we eating? Are we having ham or are we having smoked turkey, all right? I'm both. See, somebody's got my heart right there, praise God. All right? But Christmas really, guys, is not about any of those things. For some of you guys, when you hear the word Christmas, for dads, you hear cha-ching-ching, ching. All right? You hear the cash register opening and closing, all right? If you're a younger person, maybe the younger generation, the first thing that comes out of your mind, and I'm not, this isn't a dig, man. Please listen to me. Just keep your mind open for a moment as we kind of trek through this thing. But some of you guys think about what you want. What am I going to get? Am I going to get that latest gadget, whatever, fill in the blank? But think about that for a moment. We're fixing to celebrate one of the most important Christian holidays, well, second most important Christian holidays that we celebrate in America. Whether it's the right season, the right date, or whatever, we celebrate Christmas in essence for Jesus, okay, in America. But when we think about Christmas and we get to prepare for Christmas, are we really thinking about Christ at that time? I got to be honest with you, in my own life, that's not the truth. As a pastor now, thinking from a pastor's perspective, I'm thinking about, can we break over 100 people on Christmas Eve? See, I'm guilty too. How many people will we have here on Christmas Eve? So I say that and share that with you just to say, look, you're not alone. I think we've all been there. I think we all do it. We all look at Christmas in a different light, in a different way. And what I want to do over the next 3 weeks is maybe, just maybe, change that thought process just a little bit. Maybe give you a paradigm shift in your mind and in your thinking that will allow you to look at Christmas from a totally different light. Let's look at what Christmas really is all about. Let's start out. We're going to start out kind of hard. Is that okay? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. Read with me if you will. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. Now, if you're a first-time guest this morning and you go, whoa, that's a different look on Christmas. But can you imagine for a moment if we start looking at Christmas backwards? We take it and how many of y'all have watched Talladega Nights? Come on, Talladega fans, come on, huh? Baby Jesus, right? Come on. We all got this view of what Christmas looks like with baby Jesus in the manger, all cuddled up, you know, and little animals around him. We think of Christmas like that. What if and what would happen in our lives and the people around us when we begin to look at Christmas from Galatians chapter 3? From the end versus from the beginning. Can you imagine how Christmas will take on a completely new direction? Is everybody tracking with me this morning where I'm going? We tracking or am I kind of like way out there, like just like, okay, cool. All right, no matter how we paint the picture of Jesus on the day of his birth, we cannot get past the death of Jesus. And I know this isn't Easter Sunday and all that stuff, right? But track with me for a moment. No matter what you think about the birth of Christ, especially as a believer, you've got to look at the death. You've got to look at his death. Because the Bible says, man, we have been freed from sin. For the world, it's just another holiday. There's nothing, no meaning behind it. Yeah, we get together with our families. We light candles. We open gifts. We get to go to grandma's house and open gifts. We get to go to Uncle Mary and Uncle John's house, and we get to open gifts. We get to open gifts at mom and dad's. We get to do the Christmas Eve one gift on Christmas Eve. We get to do all of that. But you can't get past, as a Christian, looking at what the meaning of Christmas really is about unless you first start with death. Isn't that crazy? Death on the cross. Even more is the fact what happened at this death. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, for Christ, the Messiah himself, this is the Amplified, died for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. The just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, that he might bring us to God. In his human body, he was put to death, but he was made alive in the spirit in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison. So Christmas isn't just about us gaining freedom. It was also about all those that came before us. That Jesus Christ himself paid every ounce of what was needed to make it right. You see, under the law, if you didn't know this, let me kind of give you a quick education. Under the law, the penalty for breaking the law, which was basically 10 commandments and 623 rules. I don't know if anybody in here could do that. So 623 rules plus 10 commandments. That was the law. If you broke any one of those, the Bible says you were guilty of all of it. So if you broke one law, it was so minute and so legalistic that in the Torah that they created in the Torah, which is the five first books, and they kind of dissected and created these 623 laws, it was so bad that even if you were praying, guys, you'll love this, all right? You were praying and you passed gas, you farted, okay? I said that from here, all right? That's why I'm not up there, I'm down here, right? It said under the law that you were either stop praying for 20 minutes or you step 20 feet in either direction where the scent was no longer there. Crazy, right? Yeah. But it said that if you broke any of the law, the only thing that you could bring you back into right relationship was the slaughter of an unblemished lamb. Unblemished meaning it had to be perfect. Not a mark on it, not a deformity, nothing. It had to be completely, absolute, perfect lamb. Could redeem the people from under the curse of that law. There had to be a death to pay for the cost of the law. So on Christmas, we come in there, we celebrate, we want to eat, and we want to do all of this great stuff, which is exciting. But what about the true gift of Christmas? And the true gift, unfortunately, as believers, is not as pretty as Hollywood tries to make it to be. It's actually kind of ugly. It's bloody. It's messy. Sounds like people. It sounds like people, right? See, we all know the happy part of Christmas story, right? We know about the angels declaring to the shepherds in the field. We find it in the book of Luke. Look what it says here in the book of Luke. We all know this part. Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." How many of y'all remember that happy part right there? Praise God. Now, I know I don't have the deep, dark voice that I can, you know, do that. But we all remember that. And that's what we think about when we think about Christmas. We never think about what that baby meant. And why they were celebrating. They weren't celebrating because just any baby was being born, which is an exciting time. I mean, in my family, we're going to celebrate the birth of a baby on Christmas. But he's not Christ. He's not the Lord. Even though at 2 and 3 years old, he'll probably think he is. Right? How is it that we've missed this, church? How do we unwrap the greatest gift given to mankind? Most people would say they understand the gift that has been given. The ones the angels were proclaiming. This Jesus of Nazareth. Yet the scene of Golgotha was far from joyous. Matthew 27:35 gives us a little bit of a picture of Golgotha. It says, after they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes. Not really a picture that we want to think about on Christmas morning, right? And in the book of John, it gives a little bit more detail. But by the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife, Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. They looked and beheld her son, their friend, their brother, dying on a cross in between two thieves. They nailed the one that was born in a manger. The one that was supposed to bring joy to the earth. They crucified him. We don't think about that on Christmas. This isn't meant to bring us down. I just want our perspective to change just a little bit about Christmas and what Christmas really, really means to the body of Christ. See, the beginning of the unwrapping began with a trade. A trade. We think the gift was about us. And in essence, it was. But truly, there was a trade agreement being done. In a realm that sometimes we have such very little understanding of, there is a supernatural, spiritual trade agreement being accomplished. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 28, it says, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. See, the trade agreement was Jesus saying, I'm going to trade myself for the world. He was that lamb. He was the spotless lamb of God. He never, ever sinned. And for us in human natures on Christmas Day, that is so hard to grasp a hold of, isn't it? To understand that some person on this earth could possibly go through earth and this life with never sinning, never making a mistake, never jacking something up, but he did. He was perfect. And so for our sake, he traded his own life. This really is where Christmas should start. At the cross, at the death of one man, not the birth. See, for us to truly understand and bring and begin to unwrap the gift that God has for us, our Father, our Daddy, the gift that he has for us, we need to start with the death of a man, Jesus. See, in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, we know that our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. That's where joy comes from. That's where the freedom comes from, church. That's where we get to celebrate. Our old self has been renewed by Jesus Christ when he was nailed to the cross. See, it comes down to the word. If you really want to know, no, if you really want to begin to unwrap the amazing gift, we have to look at our sin, right in the eyes. To understand the gift that God has given to you. Are y'all tracking? See, because of this man, because of Christmas, we're free from sin. Sin can no longer have control over our lives. We're free to live the life that we were created to live. No more sin. But you know what the kicker is? This is so cool. That's not the gift. I'm not telling you what it is today. Thank you, right? I totally ruin it, right? Be like, oh, no, don't have a Christmas program anymore. Praise God. But that's not the gift. That's the beginning of the gift, is discovering this life that God has for you, the life that God wants you to live. See, here's the struggle that we find between human beings. And the struggle is this. We come to church, we say, we check our box, we make Jesus Christ, or we say that we've made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, yet we still struggle with all the garbage of this world. It's because we haven't realized the true gift of Christmas. You see, when you understand the sacrifice given to you, it means so much more. Matter of fact, I didn't put this in there, but in the book of, maybe I did. Hang on. Shh. Track real quick. Nope. In the book of Hebrews, it says that when we take the gift of God, the salvation experience, and we abuse it. What does it mean to abuse it? It means that we say we believe in Jesus and the blood sacrifice that he made for our sins, and then we go right back into the pile of junk that he just pulled us out of. It says we re-crucify him all over again. We re-crucify him. Think about that for a moment, church. It's not about guilt or condemnation, but freedom. Jesus doesn't have to come and be re-crucified every single Sunday. You're free from your sin. Paul said, don't use the opportunity, your freedom, to go back into sin, but use it to glorify God. What a great Christmas gift. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Can I ask you a question, believer? If you're not a believer today, that's okay. Maybe you can even ask yourself this question. Are you free? Or are you still wrestling with the same junk and garbage that God says you're free from? See, that's the lie of the devil. See, the devil comes in and says, you're always going to be that person. You're always going to be like this. You're always going to do that. You're always going to. But the gift of Christmas is we get to celebrate and say, no way, buddy. What's that song that Corey sang, that first song? You got to get on, get on. Get away from me. You're trying to bring me down. The whole song is about how, man, the enemy wants to come in and drown you and put you back into condemnation and guilt. Why? So you can practice the law. Because the Bible says that if you practice the law, you'll also be judged by the law. Well, what was the judgment of the law? Death. But Jesus comes to bring life and to bring that life in abundance. That's the Christmas story we get to celebrate, church. That we are free from the law of sin and death. And in Corinthians, it says we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what that means? It means this. Look, I don't have to work on loving you. Christ is in me. Therefore, I love you. He's perfected that in my heart. I don't have to work on forgiving someone. Christ is in me. I forgive. I don't have to get free from this addiction or habit or whatever. Why? Because I'm overflowing with Christ. He is in me. I don't have to work something that's already been given to me as a gift. If I gave you a gift today, I'm not expecting anything in return, and neither does Jesus. He said, I've given to you this. Why are you trying to work out what I've given to you as a free gift? That is what Christmas is about, church. Christmas is about, man, understanding that Jesus gave us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Why are you trying to earn the salvation? It simply means that when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, now turn and walk in it. Unfortunately, man, some people are putting themselves back in that hole willingly. God says, why are you doing that? The birth of a baby created freedom through death. That's what Christmas is all about. Colossians 2:15 says this, in this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. every hold, every claim that the enemy had on your life when receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and a Savior is gone. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. It's gone. But why are we still stuck in this? Why do we still struggle with this? Well, let me show you. All right. Some of y'all might have seen this already. How many of y'all ever seen this demonstration before? It's okay, I'll just sit right here. All right? So I hope I do this right. Make sure I got everybody named, okay? And we got here. All right, so here we got us. This is before creation, or this is, you know, before Adam and Eve kind of jacked things up for us, right? Y'all get that, right? We were pure, man. The Bible says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, hung out with them, fellowship with them, had communication with them, did all sorts of crazy, great stuff. Matter of fact, when they sinned, God, we talked about this in our last message series, God pursued Adam and Eve, even though he was God and he knew where they were in the garden. He pursued them, and he's pursuing you today. He's pursuing the relationship he has for you today. But we were pure. The garden was untainted. And this old slewfoot dude moved in. A guy named Lucifer. That was his actual name. Lucifer actually started out in the garden of in heaven, and Lucifer was his angelic name. He was an archangel. An archangel that became very prideful and very arrogant and thought he could do things his own way. Sometimes we almost play that role in our own lives, and we got to be careful of that. But Lucifer said, man, I'm going to build my kingdom above the kingdom of God's. And so what he did is he come in here, and he tricks Adam and Eve. And he deceives them, making them impure, making them filthy. See, the Bible's really clear about one thing. The Bible says that nothing unholy or unrighteous can enter into his kingdom. Heaven is so perfect. So what had to happen? To make this clean again, Jesus had to come. And when he came, he had to die for our sins to make us and wash us and make us new again. To make us pure and holy before his sight. He had to die so that we can be righteous. But he didn't just die for us, which is really cool. The Bible says he died for the sins of the world. Actually, I'm going to do this right here. He died for the sins of the entire world. So sin can no longer have dominion over you. But yet, why do you let that happen? And he doesn't just stop there, church. It even gets a whole lot better. Praise God. Where are we at? There we are right there, that guy right there. It gets even better than that. Jesus loves you so much, and he wants Christmas to really mean something to you, that he says, you know what? Don't just stop at church and get this infilling and realize how glorious you are. Get out of this church and go witness to people, love on people, tell people what Christmas really looks like, and overflow. Look, church, if Jesus is inside you and you understand the work that he has done in your life, it should overflow out of you. That's what Christmas is about. That's the freedom that we get in Jesus Christ. So, why are you letting sin control you? Christmas means that you're free. I know what it means that we have all the Christmas trees up and the lights and the, what's the stuff you kiss under the mistletoe? Yeah, what's up? I actually thought I seen mistletoe on a horse yesterday, but it was on his ankles. I was trying to figure that one out. I didn't, at the parade. It was weird. Maybe it was just me. God wants to transform you so much that when people bump your life, you splash out on everybody. He wants to transform you this Christmas. He wants you to unwrap a gift. Now, this is just the beginning of the gift that God has for you. See, it starts with relationship with Jesus. We'll continue on. You'll have to come back the next couple of weeks to find out the rest of the story.